So at this point we have our main Bible reading for this morning, and we're on page 950. We've got the church Bibles, and we're in Romans chapter 16, Paul's letter to the Christians at Rome, chapter 16. As we read this, you might think it's an unusual passage in some ways, but it's a passage that I'm very pleased to be looking at this morning. In one way, you might want to see it like a group photo. You know, when you've been on a group holiday, or you've been part of a sports team, or you look back at your class photo, and we go round some of the faces in this reading, and there's little comments about some of those people. It is interesting and fascinating, and also very purposeful, as we'll find out as we look at it later. So, Romans chapter 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Kenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julius, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles, contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sotipata, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. And now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans 16 could have been very short. It could have said the ancient equivalent of "say hi to everyone from me." It could have been done with very quickly. But in this chapter, Paul greets many people, 26 in fact, by name in verses 3 to 16. You might want to have Romans 16 open. I don't want you to get lost in all the detail, but for many of you, you'll want to look up the things that I'm saying. Others are also referred to, and other groups in his greetings. He sends the greetings of 8 people in verses 21 to 23. He commends one person at the start of the chapter. So is this just a bunch of names? Is it pronunciation practice? Is it just a Christian register? Is it just the boring detail at the end of the letter, a bit like an index or appendix, which nobody's really interested in? Well, I think there's lots to be interested in and lots to learn from Romans 16. I've been looking forward to speaking from this chapter. Not that I knew it very well. In fact, at one point I thought it was going to fall on Simon's morning. I was a bit disappointed. Not because I thought Simon would do a bad job, he wouldn't have done, but because I was looking forward to getting stuck into Romans 16 myself. And so I am pleased to have had the privilege of doing that this week. It's also likely to be the passage that we pick up on or move off from in our home groups in about 10 days' time, thinking of some individuals. But it's more than just full of interest and lessons. It is very purposeful. Paul wasn't just killing time or giving tertious writing practice in Romans 16. He had a clear sense of purpose in what he was doing through all these names. And I think our title gives a sense of how to see this. Team GB, you see, is the title for this morning. That's the name given to Great Britain and Northern Ireland team heading off to an Olympic event. And there is a photo. It gets a bit lost in this detail, in this size, but there is a photo of Team GB, 2012 Olympics, London. The medal winners are all on show there. There was another nice photo of the team coming back from Rio 2016. A lot of them down the stairway from a BA aeroplane, many of them in the front showing their medals. It would be seen as a privilege to be part of such a team. There should be a togetherness in the team. There would be a sense of ambition in the team as they go out and want to accomplish what they're supposed to do, win medals. And they would be very dedicated folk. Team GB. Well, here as we come to Romans 16 and the first 16 verses and then a few of the verses later, Paul picks out many of the people he knows. In the early parts, many of the people he knows at Rome. And he greets them. He greets them warmly and genuinely. In some ways, it is like a team photo of the people he knew at Rome. And in who he chooses and what he says, there is a theme. They are gospel workers, especially. Or gospel backers, we could say. Hence Team G, Team GB, Team Gospel Backers. They were people who put their back into the work of the gospel. There was this gospel, the good news of Jesus. They come to know it for themselves. They loved it. They wanted others to know about it. And they put their back into spreading it to others. Or they backed it in the sense of sponsored it, supported it, championed it, facilitated it. So we have team gospel backers. So rather than team GB in Rio, we have team GB in Rome. And it makes sense of why Paul is writing these things here in Romans 16. You remember from last week, if you were here, this thought that Rome was going to be the springboard to Spain. He wanted Rome to be well-taught, enthusiastic, platform, a springboard so that he could take on the gospel to the western side of Europe. Well, it fits in very well here, this Romans 16, this group of people that he concentrates on, that he encourages, that he endorses, that he holds up as examples, is all a warm, genuine way of encouraging that springboard effect from Rome as he hopes to go there and take the gospel from there. Well, I want to talk about four of the features of this team this morning. And this is the first. I'm going to say a bit more about the latter two, but firstly, they were in Christ. They were in Christ. That was something that united these people. It wasn't sporting excellence. It wasn't that they were British citizens. No, they were in Christ. 12 times you'll find that they are referred to as being in Christ, or in the Lord, or something is referred to as in the Lord. This is what pulls them together. They're in Christ. They are Christians. That all that Jesus did is applied to them, counts for them. What he did on the cross and in his resurrection make a massive difference from them. This is the key thing about them. They are in Christ. And there are some interesting snippets. Some were in Christ before Paul. Verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junior, my kinsmen, my fellow, and they were in Christ before me. Paul had been a Christian for 30 years plus, and they had been Christians for longer than him. One stood out for him as he thought amongst the people of Rome, and that was a first convert in the region of Asia. My beloved, verse 5, Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. So it made me think of our calendar work here, and I hope it's been useful in people's lives. But I think particularly, as perhaps some of you will, a few years ago, of Ted coming as a result of the calendar work and then being converted in his 70s and baptized here. What a joy that was. He was the first convert from the calendar work. I think back to involvement in camps. God has used camps over many years. I remember the first one I was helping on, and in God's grace, it was instrumental in a person being converted, a young person being converted. And he's gone on with the Lord. In fact, he teaches philosophy in one of the universities in this country now. And I think that one of the first converts that God used involvement in. And so for Paul, as he looked round, he thought of this person who was the first convert in Asia. It was Rufus, as we've looked at in the children's talk, who was in the Lord, chosen in the Lord. There was the letter writer, verse 22. I, Tertius, so it is Paul's letter, but he didn't actually pen it. I don't know if you realise that. He had somebody pen it for him. And the person who penned it was Tertius. I, Tertius, wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. So you have them being in Christ.
And one question it makes us think of, or can make you think of, is that true for you? Are you also in Christ, in the Lord, a Christian? I remember hearing many years ago of somebody who was either converted or God used as part of their conversion a sermon on Romans 16. And the way it happened was this. Somebody going through all this list of people who were Christians, and it made them think, well, am I a Christian? Am I included? Am I one of these people in Christ? And that's a good question for you this morning, is it? Are you in Christ? Are you a believer? Is all that Christ done something which counts for you? Is your trust in him? Well, you may say, this is all a bit new. I'm only just getting into these things. Well, then you might want to read through Romans that we've been looking at and find out what it means to be in Christ, to have that wonderful joy, peace and hope that comes through Jesus. You'll find out about it in Romans. God used reading Romans as part of my conversion. Maybe that will be the same for you. Maybe you want to read Romans. So they were in Christ, and it's a foundation for what follows. Here at Forest Fold, that is what should gel us together. We're in Christ. That's the big thing. And what follows on flows out of this. We're bound together in him. Well, a second thing we notice in thinking about these verses is that these people were valued by Paul. They were valued by Paul. His attitude to them is a great example of a gospel-minded spirit. The relationships he has and encourages is a model for all of us. He hadn't actually been to Rome at this point, but he knew of the situation of many people over there. And there was obviously a lot of movement around the Christian world. So there were people who he'd been with in his other visits and tours. And now they were sat in Rome, and he thinks of them. And his attitude towards them is a great example for us. Well, we see that he greets them. He greets them. That may seem pretty basic, but we're obviously supposed to notice that because we continue to get this verse, greet, 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 greet. And it's obviously something he wants others to do as well, because he says in verse 16, greet one another. Greeting. Saying hello. Showing your pleasure in seeing someone. It may not be with a holy kiss, as it was in their culture in verse 16. It may be a hearty handshake, or it may just be an enthusiastic word. But a greeting is a great blessing in Christian cultures. And he doesn't just greet them, but he names them. He names them. You've got this long list of names. It must have meant a lot to those people as they were named in this letter from the Apostle Paul. He took individual interest in them. He wanted them to know he was thinking of them individually. You may know that two of our daughters have done the relay training with UCCF in recent years, and the couple responsible for organising the training of these relay workers, I think there's usually about 60 to 70 volunteers over the country who do this year of service with UCCF. And the couple that organise it, one of the things that's been passed back to us, and which is quite impressive, is that before the first training event, they look to learn the names of all the relay workers. They have their photos and their names. And so when they arrive at the first training event, they say hello to them personally, even though they've never met them before. That's quite impressive, wasn't it? It means something, taking a personal interest. Jesus knows his sheep by name. It's wonderful the individual interest Christ has for his people. Well, we may not be all that good at names. They slip out of our mind very easily. But that individual interest in others and their work is a great blessing within a Team GB, within gospel backers, within the life of a church. And he
values them, not just by greeting them, not just by naming them, but also the warmth of his greeting. Phoebe is a sister. Quartus, verse 23, is a brother. Others amongst them, verse 14, are called brothers. Four of them he especially calls beloved. I love them. I care for them. He's dear to me. I warmly want to say that I'm thinking of him or her. So they were valued by Paul. And don't you think it's a lovely atmosphere and flavour to these relationships, the example it sets? A sense of love and concern and care. That makes us think, is that the atmosphere amongst us and with others involved with the work of the gospel? Is there, as much as we reasonably can, an individual care, interest, love, warmth, value? Well, I know that there is so often in so many cases, and that's similar to the spirit of Romans 16. Another thing that should strike us as we think through this list, this team, these gospel workers, is the way in which they're varied in their background. They're varied in background. Well, these days an Olympic team in many ways will be varied. You'd have people from different ethnic backgrounds. You have men and women in the team. Probably have people from different classes. Most will be in their 20s, perhaps, or just a bit either side, so they won't be quite so varied in that way. But as you go through this gospel team of workers at the church in Rome, you see some variety. You see some variety, and one of the things that's striking is that you have male and female. Male and female. Well, many are men in these lists, and you might expect that. New Testament culture and church leaders. But notice how many key people were women. As you go through the list, if you know the sorts of names there are and the way it's referring to, in the region of 9, I would say, are women. Sometimes part of a husband and wife team, sometimes on their own. Let me pick out 2. Junior. It's very, very likely that that's the name of a female. Verse 7. Probably a husband and wife team with Andronica, a husband there. And it says of them, "Greet Andronicus and Junior, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles and they were in Christ before me." So Junior and Andronica were well known to or amongst the apostles. It could mean that they just were known well to the 12 disciples. It could well mean that they were apostles, not in the sense of capital A apostles like the 12 disciples, but apostles, small a, sent ones, missionaries who'd really gone out with the gospel to others. So you have perhaps here a missionary team, husband and wife, well known, respected. Junior was part of that team, key in the advance of the gospel. Then we pick another one, Phoebe. She was the lady commended at the start of the chapter in verse 1. She probably brought the letter. That's why she's been commended. Phoebe is the person travelling and taking the letter to the church at Rome. And often they commended the people who were taking them. And she was a servant of the church. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Kenchrea." Well, the New Testament word diaconus is used for servant, service in general, and for deacon. And some here think that the word is being used for a deacon and as an office, Phoebe as a female deacon.
Well, that could be the case, but I'm not sure it's a compelling case just from this verse. But she was certainly and undoubtedly an influential and useful lady in the life of the church. You see that just by reading on, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Perhaps in her time, perhaps in her finance, perhaps in her home, she had been somebody who was a gospel backer, a patron, a supporter of the work of the gospel, including the Apostle Paul himself. And Paul wants her to be welcomed and respected, and it seems though she may well have had business that she was doing, and he wants the church there to be supporting her and helping her in every way they can. So, Junior and Phoebe, just for two. Well, I hope this list corrects you if, in your view, you are very down on the role of women in the church. Yes, there are clear roles of teaching and leadership which the Bible expects to be taken by men in the church. I think that is plain from elsewhere in the New Testament. But the church through the ages has often been highly dependent on the diligence, the initiative, the big-heartedness and the faithfulness of many women. In fact, many churches would have crumbled without it. And I'm glad that here at Forest Fold we have many women so involved with the gospel work. And I think that a large amount of what we would do would crumble if we didn't have them doing it. So if you're amongst them, I hope you feel encouraged in reflecting on Romans 16. Males and females. But there were also Jews and Gentiles. There were mainly Gentiles, the name suggests, and that's in fitting with the church at Rome, which was mainly a Gentile church. But there were some Jews amongst them, particularly flagged by when Paul says, my kinsmen. So there were people from a strongly religious Jewish background and those who hadn't had much of a religious background. And I'm glad that that is true here, that in Christ, in our church, we have those from religious backgrounds and those who haven't had the privilege of a religious background. And there were amongst this list, not just male and female, Jew and Gentile, but there were, if you like, high and low in society, in inverted commas. Paul wrote that not many noble are called, not many noble people are Christians, not that many celebrities are Christians, but in God's mercy, there are some higher in society who God has shown mercy to. Here in verse 23, Erastus, the city treasurer, sends his greetings. Erastus from Corinth sends his greetings. Interestingly, there's been an archaeological slab found near Corinth dating back to this time, mid-first centuries, referring to an Erastus who had a senior governmental role. Possibly the same person, we don't know. But whatever, this person, Erastus, had a senior role in society. At a previous church I was at when I was a student at Coventry, there was a man there who for many years was the city treasurer of Coventry, the finance director, as they probably call it today. And his photo ended up in the city paper quite often. He was a man of responsibility. He would have often been involved with committees and meetings, with decisions of multi-million pounds being made. He had a senior role. He was a humble and godly man, but he was a senior person in the life of a city. There are those, if you like, are high society, if we put it like that. There were some here who were owners of houses that were big enough to host churches. So the church at Rome, it's unlikely that it all normally met as one big congregation. It seems as though they were different groupings that met in houses. There wasn't the venues to meet together. And so those who were believers and who had bigger houses had people meet in their house. You get Priscilla and Aquila, verse 3, Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers, risk their nights, their necks, etc. Verse 5, greet also the church in their house. Seems as though Gaius later on was somebody who hosted a church. The way others are referred to seems to imply that others are meeting with them. So there were several house churches around the city of Rome, and that involved people who were wealthy enough and big-hearted enough to open up their home for the meeting. Other names suggest high connections. So those who were linked with Aristobulus, who was possibly Herod's brother. Narcissus is probably another key figure of the day. And so you had some people of high society there amongst the church at Rome. But a good number of these names are in general slaves' names, or the names of those who have been freed from slavery. So you have high and low mixed together in this gospel team at Rome. Big range of people working together. And it's true in churches today. It is true of the church here at Forest Fold. Gospel backers are not of a single sort, and they don't just possess a single gift. So here is a young mum, and she's ideal for getting alongside other young mums, befriending them and perhaps influencing them towards Christ. Here is somebody who loves organising and administrating, and they love to get into their teeth into the administration of the church. Here's somebody who has good Bible knowledge and they're able to pass it on, and they get involved with some of the teaching work of the church. Here is somebody who's done publicity at work, and they're just itching to be able to use some of those skills in the life of its church and ministry and spread them round to others. Here is somebody who's had success in business and is able to contribute more than others towards some of the financial needs of gospel work and the church. Here is somebody else who has a large home, and big-hearted as they are, they often open it up for others in hospitality and in care. Here is a couple newly married, and they want to serve together and to be able to use their home for the Lord. Here is somebody who is single and devotes extra time towards getting alongside others. Here is a teenager, a believer, and wants to be a great influence amongst others in the young people's group. Here is an older person. They can't do all that they used to do, and they can't do all that others do, but they're going to do their level best to encourage and pray for those who still do those things. So, varied in background, the variety of the gospel team. And then we come to our final thing to notice from these lists, and in many ways perhaps the most important or dominant in Paul's thought here, and that is workers. Workers. Paul often mentions this about the list he's going through. He wants to honour and to encourage those who have worked in the gospel. So are you a gospel worker? I don't mean are you paid by a church or Christian organisation, you may be, but are you looking to support the gospel going to others? You're wanting to influence others for good. Is that very high up your priority list? You support the work of a church. You partner others who are involved with evangelism. Would you like to be a gospel worker or more of a gospel worker? Well, then you'd be in good company at Rome. Because there were workers. Verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila are my fellow workers. Urbanus, verse 9, fellow worker in Christ. The two T's in verse 12, possibly sisters, we don't know. Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Timothy, perhaps better known by us if we know our New Testaments, introduced in verse 21, Timothy, my fellow worker. We can't do everything. We're limited. We need our breaks and rest. We do need to pace ourselves. Yes, that's true. But there's work to be done. Good work to be done in the work of the gospel. Are you just a passenger? A passenger when you don't need to be a passenger. You've got the stage of life, the health, the abilities to be involved with the work of the gospel, and yet you're on the sidelines and happy to stay on the sidelines. Well, Romans 16 is a nudge to you if you're a passenger. And they weren't just workers. They were hard workers. Some of them were hard workers. What about Mary? What do we know about Mary? Well, it was a common name. We don't know which Mary this is. Probably not referred to anywhere else. But we know this about her. Greet Mary, verse 6, who has worked hard for you. Persis, verse 12. Beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. You come home. You come home worn out after the youth work, don't you? Look forward to that. I remember that. It used to be called UFOs. It's Action Now. I remember the post-UFOs cup of tea. I was well ready for a cup of tea after Action or UFOs, and you've probably had the same thing. Do you sometimes feel the strain of preparing a talk? Do you sometimes feel the burden of leadership and organising? It's a privilege, you want to do it, but it saps you. You get alongside others and you want to, and the Lord helps you to, but it's often delicate and draining. You don't always know quite what to say. You're wanting somebody to feel welcome. You think, well, what do I say to them? Or you're wanting to encourage somebody. You think, I don't want to put my foot in it. And you feel the strain of it. It's hard work. It's hard work. Working in the gospel often is hard work. There were supporters. They opened their homes. They use their influence, they use their finance. There was Phoebe, the patron. Rufus, who was a mother to Paul. There was Gaius, who was called the host of the church. And it was often costly work, especially for some. There were risks involved sometimes. It wasn't all a picnic. Aquila and Priscilla, or Prisca as it's shortened to here, verse 3. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Possibly some protection or involvement in the riot at Ephesus in Acts 19. They laid their lives on the line for the sake of the gospel and the apostle Paul, and he never forgot it. It was costly. We've come back to Andronicus and Junia more than once, haven't we? They fit into this category too. They're in verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. That missionary couple had ended up behind bars at some point. Maybe at the same time as the Apostle Paul, and he'd met them there, or whether he just felt a sense of link with them because they had been in prison in their career as well. Costly, costly service. Well, it is costly sometimes, isn't it, to be involved with the work of the gospel. And so, here, Romans 16, Team GB, Team Gospel Backers. And just in closing, I wonder how they felt as the letter was read. Maybe there was a little tear going down from the eye of some who were mentioned. I didn't expect to be mentioned in a letter by Paul. Fancy him picking out me and saying kindly what he has said about me. Perhaps some were encouraged as they were beginning to wilt in their service and finding it all just a bit too much, and they feel stiffened and heartened. Perhaps they feel really looking forward to when the Apostle Paul comes, and they feel boosted in their desire to encourage him and send him on his way to Spain in his gospel work. Perhaps there's others there who are not mentioned who are thinking, yeah, that's quite true. I'm glad Andronicus and Junior were mentioned. It's quite right what Paul said about them. Yeah, Mary has worked hard amongst us. Yeah, we're so, Phoebe, we're welcome. They look round, they think, yes, and it endorses in their mind his good traits of committing ourselves to gospel work. Perhaps some, maybe a bit younger ones, maybe new Christians, sat listening and they thought to themselves, yes, that's what I want to be like. I want to be like. Some want to be like part of Team GB, don't they? Some want to be Olympians. You read of Eddie the Eagle, how keen and desperate he was to be part of an Olympic team and trained at short notice to do the ski jump. You remember it many years ago, some of you wanted to be part of the team. Well, maybe others were listening thinking, yes, this is the sort of person to be if I follow Christ, working hard for the gospel. Different reactions. And as we think of Romans 16 this morning, we have similar reactions. Heartened, strengthened when wilting, encouraged to bless others who pass on the gospel, glad that it's acknowledged, and feeling increasingly a sense of, yes, that's the sort of person I want to be in following Christ. Romans 16, Team GB. Amen. Last hymn is a very suitable hymn to follow on from what we've been thinking of. We all are one in mission. We all are one in call. Our varied gifts united by Christ, the Lord of all. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement, perhaps the challenge of the things we have thought of from this chapter this morning. Lord, we pray that where that encouragement or challenge is especially apt for us now at this point, that we won't miss it or duck it or let it be lost on us, but that your word will stir us, take its place in our lives as we seek to live for the Saviour who gave his life for us. Amen.